Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited that you joined us again this Tuesday, as we are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Please join us today as we start with our devotion. We'll have prayer, scripture, we have a song, scripture, and prayer.
Good evening, everyone. We thank you for joining us here in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana, or around the country, within the United States, or even outside the United States in whatever country that you're in. We thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained. Tonight we'll have song, scripture, and then prayer. Tonight's song is I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. And I don't borrow from the sunshine. For the skies may turn too gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him. Oh, He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. Oh, I know who holds my hand. Oh, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. And I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. Yes, I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow, because I know who holds.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Our scripture is taken from Isaiah 40:28-31. And I'm reading from the New King James. version. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen. Amen. Would you concur with me as I pray, or bow your heads with me as I lift up prayer for tonight's Bible study? Lord God, we come before you this evening, thanking you and praising you for a beautiful day that we woke up in our right mind, the ability to have our health and strength, able to walk, to talk, and to be able to see. We don't want to take these things for granted. But then, Lord, we also just want to say thank you for the sky and the trees and the beauty that surrounds us. And then as we come before you, Lord, wanting to confess that we've fallen short, that we've not fulfilled all the things that you've asked us to do, that somewhere, some way, we've fallen short of your glory, and we acknowledge that and ask that you help us to strengthen us, to help our walk be more like our talk. And then tonight, Lord, as we come before you, we come petitioning that as we sit at your feet tonight, we want to understand how to handle hard times with faith. And as we learn to handle those hard times with faith, that we would specifically focus on actively waiting on you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, God. Praise your name, Lord, because you promised to mount up with wings of eagles. And so we ask you, O God, to strengthen us tonight. Give us your spiritual insight so that we too might understand and grow from the word that we learned this evening. Lord, we ask a blessing on the teacher, Mark Bryant, that you would be with him, direct him, and help us as we seek to see your face, and that you would be blessing for all of the people who are in the studio as well as those who are in radio land. Lord, bless them as they stand in need. Help them to understand how to handle hard times with faith. We ask this in your son's name we pray, thanking you, praising you, and loving you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We again thank you all who are listening.
So I'm so excited
to
get us started tonight. And as we go through tonight, we have a lot that we're going to be covering. And part of what we're covering this month is the understanding that we are how to handle hard times with faith. Last week was our first lesson. We started with May 2nd, and we talked about why should we operate in faith during hard times. And we looked at 2 Corinthians, Deuteronomy, Hebrews. But tonight, Brother Mark Bryant has us looking at actively waiting on God. Next week, be excited. We're going to be talking about trusting that God has a plan for us during these hard times. And then the fourth week, we're talking about placing our hope again in God. And then the final week, he's got a surprise for us that he'll give us on what we're going to be talking about on May 30th to empower us to know where to begin to study. He'll probably give us that this week so we'll know what to look at. But we want to encourage all of you who haven't been on the Bible study line to come on and bring a friend. And we are hoping to grow our Bible study so that we can, as Brother Mark said, be able to explain and exalt the Word of God. Amen. So we have Brother Mark.
Amen.
Brother Mark, if you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen, amen. Thank you all for joining us again from our city as well as throughout the country, throughout the world. Again, our topic tonight is actively waiting on God. And as Dr. Susie has spoken to you about last week, we talked about how to handle hard times. and having faith. And we learn that it's a special gift that God gives us in regard to faith and being able to lean on Him, and that He will give us the desires of our heart, that we must have faith in Him. So tonight we're talking about actively waiting on God. And we're going to start at the scripture that was first spoken, but we want to first back up, and if you could identify, if you're on the line, you don't have to speak, but we want to identify those who want to participate in tonight's Bible study. If you could just give us your name so we can actively call on you as we're going through the Bible study.
Lester? Lester?
Brother Carlos, sound like you got a cold. How you doing, Brother James? Dr. Susie?
So we have. All right. Brett. Okay. Dr. Brett.
There you
go.
Good
to have you on, sir.
Thank you.
Did I miss anyone? Is Eric on the line?
I haven't heard from him yet.
Okay, all right. So we'll go with Lester, Dr. Susie, Dr. Nook, and Dr. Brett. All right. So we'll be talking, and I want to first go over the scripture that we first spoke about with Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If I could get one or two people to give me comments on what that scripture says to them, or if that scripture speaks to them.
What version were you reading from, Brother Mark?
King James Version.
That was King James. Okay.
Well, it means a lot to
and,
me.
You know, I would like
James. Go ahead, Lester.
Go ahead, Dr. Father.
Oh, I just wanted to say that waiting on God, according to this scripture, is, if you know what this passage is saying, our expectation when we get tired, our expectation when we get weary, when we're in the midst of doing work for God, is to not get weary, but to expect that second wind, expect that renewal of our strength to come from God, so that we can soar to heights as eagles, understanding that eagles don't fly like sparrows where they flap their wings faster to go higher. Eagles soar on the wind, on the currents of the wind, because their feathers are designed to do that.
Thank you, Dr. Carver.
So that's the big thing. Okay.
Dr. Brett?
Well, from this, it tells me to be patient and to know that God is everlasting and that we can count on Him even when we don't think that He's around. He's still there. That's why it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. As long as you have hope, as long as you believe, you're going to soar. Because when God comes and blesses you, everything He does lifts your spirits up. When your spirits are lifted up, you're soaring. There you go.
Okay. Dr. Nooks, does this scripture speak to you?
Well, this scripture says a lot to Israel, first of all. You know, that God needed to remind them of who God was. And I think we need to be reminded that God is the creator of all life, and He is the everlasting God. And God never faints, and God never gets tired. And God understands everything. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that, who we are plugged into when we are a part of God. And he gives power to the weak. So when we get weak, we can be empowered because, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. It's so important for us to understand where our power comes from. And when we suffer and when we are weak and we've been beat up, we need to still understand that we got a power source that is beyond ourselves. And that gives me great strength and great faith and hope in that my strength does not come from me, but it comes from God. So this is something that Israel needed to be reminded of, and all those that believe in God need to be reminded of. And young people, I was just thinking today, I used to just run so much when I was younger, and I didn't even think about it. I just thought I'd be able to run forever, and play sports and all these kind of things, and I find that I can't do those things anymore. But I get strength, not the physical strength that I used to have or the abilities, but I get strength from God in the tough times, and I rejoice even in the hard times, because God is there with me.
Let me ask this, recognizing that God has the strength and God has given us strength, and he said we'd be more than conquerors, and he said we'd do greater than he would. Why do we even have to wait? It would seem to me, as a layman, that I'm connected to the power, not some power, but the power. So why should I have to wait?
Because God didn't operate in our time. And it would be wonderful if we knew all that God knows and if we had the world in our hands, but we don't. And there are some things that I wish I hadn't gone through when I was going through them. But when I look back on my life, I needed to go through them. But myself, I would not have selected to go through those things. But God sees and God knows more than I do. And so there are some waiting that we have to do. If we had our way, we'd have everything right before us right now. And Paul said of himself, unless I be exalted above measure, a thorn was given to me in the flesh. We get the big head real quick, and we think we ought to have everything right now. We live in a McDonald's type of mentality world. But sometimes we need to take some time and really grow in God. Because sometimes we're not ready for what we think we want.
Well, go ahead. Was there someone who were to say something? Can anyone give an example where you were going through something difficult and you couldn't figure out why you had to wait and what God had for you and what was the conclusion of the situation? Can anybody tell me you had a difficult situation and you didn't know when the answer was going to come? You knew who the answer was going to come from, but you just had to wait. And what was the outcome of that?
Yeah, Lester Carver here. I have an example. I had a client where I performed a feasibility study for them, and we performed a master plan for them, and then we were commissioned to do their design for their actual project as the architect. And after years, after doing it for one pastor and one board, recommissioned to do it for another pastor and another board for the same church, and all the way down the road, maybe 10 years down the road, decided to finally do their job, $4.5 million, and then the project was stopped because it was during the economic collapse, and they came back and cut the project in half to $2.5 million job, and still was designing, and it finally got built 15 years later. And I was asking myself, how could one job stretch out for so long? And I was tempted to quit many times. more than three times throughout the course of the 15 years, but God did not release me until the thing was finished. So the thing that I learned was that God was doing so much more than renovating the church with that project. He was tearing down, building up, and setting things in order that went far beyond the scope of the building project, but the building project was used as a tool to make those other things happen.
So, Brother Lester, I was just trying to figure out, what did it do for you? I thought he asked what it did for us. How did it help you?
Well, I'll tell you what it did for me was it gave me patience. It gave me confident expectation that God always delivers and will not allow his words to fall to the ground. When God tells you that he's commissioned you to make something happen and he needs you to get the job done for him and to not leave until the job is done, that job will get done. But that requires you to not lean to your own understanding. It requires you to operate in the absolute faith. It requires you to please God and not people, and requires you to serve God and not money. And if you do that deliberately,
speak in terms of our language,
then you learn that God is real.
Okay, let's see everybody use our language, because I want to hear what's going on with us. So I'm assuming Pastor Carver was trying to say that's how he experienced it. So all those things were how God was teaching you, right? Am I hearing that? Couldn't hear. Okay. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
As a point of order, I heard. As a point of order, when we're on the, those of us in the studio, if you would please make sure that you don't have a speakerphone on, because that impacts the studio. So it messes with the sound. So those of you who may have a speakerphone on, just, and if you would put your phones on mute when you're not talking, so that the background noise, whatever is going on, will not be a part of our time tonight. And you can have that just for yourself. All right, Brother Mark.
Is anyone who can, else who can speak of actively waiting on God in regard to this scripture? You're in a situation.
This is James. And I guess I can share something that's been very difficult in my life. I was married for 18 years to someone that was a drug addict. And at the same time, I was trying to raise children and pastor a church and work. And many days I was alone, and many times I had to try to get things done and prayed often, and relief did not come for a long time. And it was very difficult having bank accounts wiped out, much loneliness, much pain, much difficulty in the home. But I learned how to pray, and I learned how to depend on God, and many tearful days and nights. It was a time that increased my faith. Eventually, she died of a drug overdose. But it did something to me as a believer in God, because in the lowest times, the most difficult times, the loneliest times, God would renew my strength. I understand what that meant, that verse meant about renew your strength, because I didn't have any left. And but God would somehow empower me, and I was able to do things that I didn't think I would be able to do. Just to preach, to serve people was difficult when your wife was in jail. God can renew your strength and give you the ability to do things beyond what you think you can do. And when you look back, people say, well, why did you stay? Why did you do that? And you don't know why you stayed, why you did it, but somehow God gets you through it. And then you can look back and rejoice that God got you through it. But it changed me. I can't say what it would do to other people, but it greatly increased my faith and allowed me to, I think, do things that ordinarily I would not have done. And things that ordinarily would bother some people, it doesn't bother me as much, because God has bought me from a mighty long way and bought me through great trials and tribulations. That's not the only trial and tribulation in my life, but that's just an example.
Amen.
That's an awesome testimony to show that God can truly bring you through situations that you yourself don't realize that you can go through. Is there anyone else that can give a testimony in regard to what I call God's enabling grace as you're waiting, you know, having the faith to wait on God?
This is Brett. I can sympathize with what my brother just said. I too was in a situation like that. However, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The 23rd song always brought me through any crisis I've ever been through. To be patient when he talks about lay beside the still waters. Sometimes I had to just be still, even though my spirit wanted me to move. It wanted me to react. It wanted me to do certain things. But sometimes you just have to listen to what God tells you. And the 23rd song stays on my heart so much that it's seen me and other people through rough times in their lives. And we just have to be patient. We have to wait on him, because when you give it to him, he has his own time frame to do things. Because you want to act right now may not be the best thing for you to do, because if you wait, something else will be revealed to you. And once that is revealed to you, then you can handle it in a different situation. So, you know, so I keep telling people that in my mind all the time. And when I'm going through something that I don't understand why, I always rely on that song, the 23rd song.
You know, this is Dr. Susie. Brother Mark, I have an example. And, you know, everybody is given these outstanding, awesome things that God has done, and praise be to God for those awesome miracles in their lives. But, you know, I've had to wait on God for some very, I guess I want to give testimony to some very basic things. I think our radio audience can identify with the fact that sometimes we have to wait on God to have money to pay the bills. Sometimes we have to wait on God to have money to have food. Sometimes we have to have money to wait on God to put gas in the tank. And so even the most fundamental task, I have had to learn to wait on God to be my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And so I can testify to that. And I can also share with those of us, those who are listening, that, you know, waiting on God pays off. I know many of my brothers and sisters who have been in need, and we've just had to trust and wait on God. And waiting on God does not mean doing nothing. It means actively doing what we can do to wait and hear what it is that God, how God wants us to act, or to wait on and God to reveal God's self, to see God's work, His method of answer, come manifest itself to us. I mean, it's a plethora of ways that that can manifest itself. So, and I'm sure Brother Mark is going to give us some insight to that tonight.
Amen.
You know, I'm glad you made mention of that, because one of the things that I think is difficult for us is when we talk about waiting on God is, what are we doing in the interim? Are we doing the same things that we used to do? You know, sometimes, you know, we get into that mindset. If you're doing the same thing, don't expect to have a difference because you're doing the same things. You know, and I guess my question goes, you know, should we be doing the same things that we've been doing? Should we, you know, go in a circle? I'm looking for a job. Should I continue, you know, looking, doing the same things I'm doing until I hear something from God? I don't have, you know, the light bill paid or the food and the clothes. Should I be doing the same things? I don't, you know, my relative is sick in the hospital, and all I know how to do is pray and nothing more. You know, should I be doing the same things? What should I be doing? Dr. Susan?
Well, I think the word, what I just kind of shared, is that there are a plethora of things that we can do, but the first thing I think that we should be doing is seeking God. You know, in all things, we should seek God to make sure that not only are we in God's will, that we've done everything we can do to have our lives right before the Lord when we send a supplication up to God, a request, but that we should make sure that we're ready and in the place where we can receive the answer and do whatever it is that God tells us to do. I mean, sometimes I remember a situation where the Lord told me to receive. I mean, this was hard for me. I'm used to giving folks money and helping other people, but God put me in a posture where I had to receive. And, you know, did that do something to change me, challenge me? Yeah, but, you know, again, being open and submissive to God is a lesson in itself. You know, Brother Carver often gives us information, but that information that he's sharing usually comes from some personal experience. And so when we're talking about things that folks ought to do, you know, we got to remember, you know, we need to do those things. We need to follow up with those things. We need to, he gave us a list of wonderful things to do. But there's always multiple things we can do. But it's going to God, listening for yourself, being a part of that relationship development that you have, so that when you hear, you know, when somebody else tells you something, it's just affirmation of what God has already said to you. And I think God operates in different ways depending on the circumstance.
Amen. I'm gonna go ahead.
I thought it was really good when I'm looking at this Isaiah 40 chapter, Brother Mark, and one of the awesome things is I'm seeing it in the text is it says, it's asking us a question, do you not know? And he's asking each of us, have we not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Why is he making that statement of asking the people, you know, who God is? Why is Isaiah asking that?
This is Brett. I think a lot of times you have to remind people, and this was a way to remind them of who God is.
And Brother Brett, you're absolutely right, because, you know, they are now in unbelief and distrust. They feel rejected. They feel despondent because they were sent to Babylon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're upset with God. But that's the word. You know, sometimes we are punished because we haven't done what God asked us to do. And then we get an attitude and like, you know, well, I'm not going to serve now. I'm mad. I don't distrust you. I didn't give me my way when I asked for it. Come on, y'all. Somebody know what I'm talking about?
And I think you're right, but I don't think we have a choice. You know, we talked about, you know, as we talked last week about faith, there's pleasure that God receives because of the faith that we have in Him. There are things that God instructs of us to do, and I don't think we have a choice. I think God always gives us our free will, but I don't think if we want to please God, that we truly have a choice but to do what God has asked us to do. And if we diligently seek Him and seek His face, that He will give us, you know, the desires of our heart and the direction that we should go. And it's incumbent upon us to, as you said, you know, be prayerful, you know, fast, be, you know, listen to what God says, and for us to be in position to be able to go in the direction or receive what God has for us to receive.
Amen. Brother Nix, what do you think about what was behind, you know, the prophet talking to them?
Because
was he trying to?
They would. They would lose faith. They wouldn't keep faith, just like us.
Come on.
We operate in a amnesiac type of mentality. We have amnesia. It's selective amnesia, but it's like we have to go through something in order to be reminded of God.
Well,
and the fact that God is on our side. There's something about our nature, and Paul says there's a war going on inside of us, and that war just is a constant battle. And you know what most people fall victim to is that they don't realize that there's a war, and they don't realize. I mean, Satan has confused us so much that we believe that everything is all right. We're not in a battle. We're okay people. We go about, we have our rules and regulations. We do things according to what we think they ought to be, and everything is all right with God, and it's not all right with God. And we're going on, we're having this battle inside of us, and Satan is winning, and he's deceived us so much that we don't even realize there's a war going on. But that war says, you know, I don't need God. You know, I'm God by myself. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. I have all power in myself. My own mind is enough for me to be able to be the ruler of my own destiny. And we have that kind of mentality going on, and God is saying, I'm here. I'm with you. I love you. And, you know, and we're saying we don't need your love. We don't need you, God. We can do it all by ourselves. We just have to be constantly reminded, and it's sad that God has to knock us to our knees, knock us upside the head, in order for us to open our eyes and our minds and our hearts and realize that God is there, and we need God. We need God every day. But we got this thing going on inside of us, but if you don't even realize it's there, how are you going to say, I'm not going to let you do that, Satan? But we just go along. It's just normal for us. It's normal living. And that normal living is against God. And we don't even realize it. So we need to open our eyes, and we need to remind each other of that. And that's why God has given us each other, to help us to grow and understand and to point some things out to each other. We need to be reminded.
Amen. Brother Mark, I was just thinking that this is Dr. Susie, and sometimes when we don't get our way, you know, just a quick short testimony, if you don't mind. I remember when I lost my daughter, and she died overnight. Then, you know, I was missed, disappointed with God, because I asked Him to heal her, and He didn't do it, and she died. So I was angry, and I was like, well, how come you didn't give me my way? I wanted my way. And then I realized, you know, I didn't put the you know, wind in the four corners of the earth. Let me just hush and go on. And, but inside, I still was disappointed because I didn't get my way. And so as I went through my life, God began to work and to show me as I was waiting, you know, as I was growing, and God was doing a work in me. And I think, I guess why I'm sharing that is that sometimes we get so disappointed with God and we lose faith. And we begin to distrust God. We begin to feel dejected and despondent because we didn't get what we want, thought God should have given us or how God should have treated us. And so we go by the wayside and say, well, whatever. But God is not a whatever God. And he says to the children, Jacob and Israel, he says, my way was hidden from them. Why do you make hard, melancholy conclusions concerning yourself and the situations that we face as if they're desperate? Because we have a God who is omnipotent. We have a God who says just because we get chastised, just because we have to be accountable for the mistakes that we make, God is still aware, God is still watching, God is still caring and nurturing and watching over us, taking care of us, just because we belong to God. And God sees that, and that relationship that we have should continue to be developed even when we fall short. That's why David was so special to the Lord, because when David fell short, he didn't run away from God. He ran towards God. So while we're waiting, run to God. Be at God's feet. Listen to what God is saying. Profess yourself in that relationship with God. Continue to seek God's face and know that he is going to be faithful and just, and that he cares enough about us to make sure that each of our goods, that everything happens for the best of our good. I believe that. I know that God, you know, and it's difficult when we don't always get our way and we have an expectation, but we have to trust and continue to wait. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Brother Mark.
Amen. You know, it's always difficult when we look at the situation. So we never imagine certain situations to go certain ways, and we even furthermore don't look further to know that God is actually changing us. We think that God should change the situation, but in many cases God is really changing us. And so I want to go on to, you know, some of the things that we've talked about. And go ahead.
Can you finish answering that question? Because I want us to go through 28 to 31 and talk about that. I wanted to know when it talks about he will not grow tired or weary and his understanding no one can fathom. What does that mean? How can we rely on this scripture? What do other people think when it tells us to acknowledge who God is as the creator, as the omnipotent one, as the one who can do all things, as the God who was there yesterday, today, and is always there forever, the same God who put the winds in the far corners of the earth, the same God who created the universe, this omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God who can do all things. What does it mean when he says he will not grow tired or weary and his understanding nobody can fathom? How does that relate to us? As it says, do you know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. What does that mean? Understanding no one can fathom. All of that. Brother Lester, what does that mean?
It means that nobody knows more than God.
All right.
Period.
All right.
And
all right.
That if you are ever going to get to the place where you can really wait on God and trust in God, you're going to have to submit and bow down to that reality that only God knows what's required. And only God has the power that is required, and he can give it to you when you need it. And you have to trust him to do that, because only he knows when you will need it. So this is a need-to-know
and
basis
believe.
As a soldier.
And believe.
Well, and not and believe. We are believers. And so signs, miracles, and wonders follow those who believe.
But why do we call
there
ourselves believers if we're not going to believe?
Come on. And we're talking about right now waiting. So in the midst of that waiting, we got to, if we think, if we look at the forecast, Brother Lester, Brother Mark, is this okay? When we look in the forecast and we see rain is in the forecast, we believe it's going to rain. So what do? We take an umbrella. So when we believe, what do we need to do?
Prepare for
when God says, and in
your confident expectation in God, right? So when God says it's his will for you to prosper and be in health, you need to act accordingly. When God says that you were healed by the stripes of his son, Jesus Christ, when he
Come
was
on.
For your physical wholeness, and you feel a cough or you feel an ache or you feel a pain or you feel whatever, you need to stand on that promise that you were healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ and stop confessing the illness that you're speaking into your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, you need to do that.
All right.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't take your medicine. Brother,
it can mean a lot of things. You've got to ask God. You've got to go to God first. Then whatever God tells you to do, do. But unfortunately, we've been raised and conditioned to go to the physician before we go to the physician, right? Go to God first, and then if God says go to your doctor, go to your doctor. Because God might tell you go to sleep and drink some water. God might tell you to fast for a couple days since you haven't fasted in like a couple years.
Amen. But part of this, Brother Lester, and this is what I want to say, everybody can't just run off and do that. This you're able to do that when you've built a relationship with God and you know how to hear. You know how to
Amen.
Process. It's about
Amen.
Having that relationship with God so you know what God is saying. Because we can hear a lot of different spirits. So the reality
well, that's
is
why, that's
we keep
why you
saying,
have to study
we
God's,
say over and over and
God's
over,
word.
That, amen. That's why we say over and over, we have to have a relationship, and the only way you can have the relationship is through the study of God's word. Amen?
Amen.
And
amen.
The only way that we can know how to wait on God and what that looks like is if we have gone to God, asked God about it, listened and been in the will of God, so we know what it is we're waiting for and how we're supposed to wait, what we're supposed to be doing while we're waiting. But you can only hear when you're talking to him, praying with him, studying God's word and listening.
Amen.
I mean, there's several
Amen.
Things
Amen.
That we can learn, but those are some key things. So, Brother Mark, did you say that on these scriptures, like, on the 29th and the 30th, where it says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. What did you say that meant?
On the, what was it? In
29th verse. Mm-hmm. Dealing with that 40th chapter, the 29th verse. If you guys will jump in with that, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Brother Brett, why would God increase the power of the weak, Brother Nooks?
Because, this is Brett, he's increasing the power of the weak because they need to have the strength to be able to be on their own and take care of themselves. That's why he comes in and heals your body. That's why he also gave knowledge to man, so that we can have doctors that can help along with that healing. But in
yes,
all
Brother
in all.
Nick? Okay, go ahead. No,
go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were finished. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine.
Amen.
No,
amen, Brother Nick. Did you want to add to what? Go ahead, Brother Brett. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when he talks about that the Lord is the creator of the earth and we will not grow tired or weary, it reminds me of, and I can't tell you exactly what chapter or verse it is, but in Genesis it talks about the sons of God. So saw that the women of the earth were beautiful, so they married, and God got mad at that. And he was talking about that God said they are not gods like us.
Okay, okay, I hear you. Thank you, Greg.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to go into the, we got about 10 minutes here. Brother James, can you give me your perspective of that? And then if you all would go ahead and I'm looking at 29:30. It says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And Brother Mark, you said even youth grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. What did you say that was about?
You know, even, you know, many times we think of our youth and being youth to think that they're, you can always do anything and everything. That you're always going to be strong, that you're always going to be able to do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. But this scripture goes as tell in reality that even the youth, even the young, they're going to be weary, and young men, they shall utterly fall. And then the scripture goes on to say, but they that wait upon the Lord, if you wait, even those youth that lose both their power, even those older men and women who lose their power, whatever that may be, God is telling us that he will give us, renew our strength, that we should mount up with wings as eagles, and that we should run and not be weary, we should walk and not be faint. That he's going to renew our strength and we'll be able to do whatever God has for us to do. So in our waiting, you know, we just must recognize that God still has us. You know, we used to say today that God's got us, or I got your back. Well, God has our back. God is our strength in our weakness. He covers us in love in our hurt. When we don't have a direction, he is our light. And in whatever situation, in our weakest condition, God is still with us. And I think if we recognize that God is still with us, we will always make it through the situation. And we got to understand that we fight not against flesh and blood, but we're fighting, this is a real war. And I think sometimes, you know, we don't realize that, you know, this is a spiritual war. And we're fighting against the things that we can see, that we've heard, or that we can feel. This is not that kind of war. This is something, we're fighting a war that's very spiritual, that has nothing to do with what I can see or feel, and we must fight it on the grounds that this is first spiritual before it ever becomes natural. And if we recognize and we fight, you know, with the armor that God has given us, then we can fight against anything that comes against us. And when God calls us to wait in a situation for him to guide us, to give us the strength, then we can take on that armor and fight when it's time to fight. If it's not time to fight, it's not time to fight. If it's time to run, then we're going to run. I think Pastor Lester always tells us there's a time when we run, there's a time to hide, there's a time to, and there's a time to fight. And we've got to recognize when those times are. We've got to have an active ear to hear what God is saying. And we have, God has given us a spirit. God's not giving spirits of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. So we have to recognize that if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, we have got to fight and not be fearful of the things, of the spiritual things that come against us. So when those spiritual things against us, we have got to fight and recognize, you know, from God, when he tells us to fight, we've got to be fight and not be fearful to fight.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I the scripture that kept jumping out at me is the one that says, when Paul talks about when I'm weak, I'm strong. You know, the very time when we are weak, that's the posture I think sometimes God needs us to be in before God can actually use us. If anybody can testify to that, that God had to humble you or put you in a place where God could fully use you, because you knew it wasn't about you. Somebody on the line, I know it ain't nobody here.
I, yeah,
Yeah,
I mean, that's every day. That's me every day. I don't, you know, and I think that's every day because, you know, one of the things I think that, we all have is gifts that of several different gifts. And many times we think on a court that we can do all. And many times God has to humble ourselves and remove us from our extraordinary or ordinary and places his extraordinary upon us. And when he places his extraordinary upon this vessel, anything's possible because we recognize it's not us, it's not me, it's him. And through God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Dr. Nooks, did you have anything to say about that? Yeah,
well,
get
are
off
you
mute.
Still on the? Are you still on the week?
We're on the section the 29 through and 30, and if you want to talk about 31 as well, it's up to you. We were talking about 29 and 30, and then 31, Brother Mark Berger.
Yeah. Well, I know you were. So, you asked me about gives power to the weak.
So talk about what's on your heart.
The fact is that all of us are weak. And we all need to have our strength increase. But some of us don't know it yet. but we have to.
I like that.
We need God. And we all fail. And the wise person realizes that they are weak and they need help. The foolish person thinks they don't need any help and they're strong. But the power that we get comes from God. And if we realize it, then we'll ask God for it. We'll ask God for help. The foolish person doesn't feel like they need to ask God for help. So I'm grateful to God that God has allowed me to understand that I'm weak.
Dr. Susie?
That's awesome. Go ahead.
One of the things I'd like to speak to is how God says that, you know, when the weak say, let the weak say they are strong, okay? Because where our strength ends is where God's strength begins, and that's where his work gets done. That's where God gets glory. So all we have to do is say yes. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do what you've given me to do through the power of the Holy Spirit within me and not my own strength, which is limited. Some of us are stronger than others. Some of us have more grace and more faith than others. But no matter how strong or how weak you are, God's strength always starts where your strength ends. And God needs you to agree to go to the end of your strength so that he can get glory through you. And you can tap into that strength of the Holy Spirit within you and do what God has given you to do in spite of your own limitations.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Mark, do you remember that song, that BBC One song where it says, he's not on his knees yet? He doesn't know his worth, wears the saddest smile on earth, but he denies it. Love is reaching out to him, but he won't let it in. He defies it. He defies it. He's not ready. He's not on his knees yet. He's too strong to be weak. Show him mercy. He's not on his knees yet. Let him break. Please make him better. Put the pieces back together. He thinks that he's alone. I have walked the road he's on. I know he's searching, looking everywhere but up. He can't fill his empty cup, so he's hurting. You know, every time I hear that, I just lift my hands because that's exactly what Brother Nix was talking about when he said some folks are so strong that they don't know it yet, but they're weak. And when we realize just how weak we are, that's when love reaching out to us can impact us. Until we understand and we get on our knees. Come on, somebody. When we get down to where we're so weak, we got to ask God for mercy and to be there for us, to let us know that until God breaks us, we can't get better. Until we are humbled and submitted, we can't get to the next place where God is trying to teach us to open our eyes so that we can spiritually see. And we think that we're alone. And with many of us, you know, we walk around as if we have arrived. You know, everybody on this line, not all of us are doctors, so folks who y'all hear us on the radio, many of us are just learning and we're just coming. So don't feel intimidated. Come join us. Anybody can be on the line. Yes, there are people on here who have knowledge, and we praise God for that. We all have some knowledge, and even the knowledge you have, you can bring and share with us. But this is about teaching us, all of us, that we're not there. None of us have arrived. I'm sorry to tell you, if you think you have, be watch out, you're getting ready to fall. The reality is that God is working in our lives. And when we understand we're weak, that's what Paul says. God made him strong. And it's an understanding that it's not us, but God who works through us, empowering us.
Amen.
Because that's when we're the strongest, when we realize we're not the ones doing it. Come on, somebody. When we start thinking
Amen.
It's us, we need to be careful. This is all about the God we serve. Amen, Brother Lester?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so as we look at this last text, y'all give us a word on this last text as we go through, Brother Mark, if you lead us through that. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, this is what we're looking at tonight as we're on the subject, this wonderful subject that Brother Mark has brought to us about how to handle hard times with faith. How do you put that spin on that, Brother Mark, about as we wait on God when we're dealing with hard times?
You know,
what is it saying?
What comes to me is a couple of things. I mean, it's obviously letting us know that, you know, that when we're going through these hard times and we are exhausted and we don't know what direction to go, just hold on, because God will renew
Amen.
Our strength. But I think it even goes a little bit further. You know, I'm reminded, you know, almost as the song that you spoke of, where God is saying, you know, my love will touch you, and He'll take me, you know, where He wants me to be. And I'm reminded, you know, when I don't feel I'm loved, or when I don't know where I'm going, or I don't know how I should feel, that God always provides a way to show me, even in my situation, that He loves me, that I'm worth it, that I'm His child, that I'm royalty, that I can decree things to happen. Because why? Not because of who I am, but because of whom I am. And because even in the state I may be, I have the power because of Him to decree, and it shall be. And so I think we have to be humble, but we've also got to recognize the power that God has given us, and to use the power that God has given us to decree what God, you know, says that we should be.
Amen. That gives us hope. Amen.
Amen.
And Brother Brett, you want to make a comment? Then we'll go to Brother Lester and then Brother Nick as we close.
One of the things that comes to mind is that when you open yourself up and you take all the blockages and doors you have closed away, and you open everything up, and you allow God to work in you and through you, it may not feel comfortable when you're not in control of you. But God has you. He saw to it that you were born. He's seen to it that you're still alive. And if anybody that deserves to have your trust is God. Because even when you sleep, He makes sure that you're safe. If you can get up every morning and you can say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see another day, then know He's not tired. He's not through. Your hope in the Lord. He's going to renew your strength. That's where you'll get not just physical strength, but you'll get mental strength. Your spirit will be strengthened in the word of the Lord, and you'll find out that over your journey and that you're going through being a Christian, you're going to find that God will answer you a lot quicker than he has when you first started on your journey. That's
okay.
All I got to say.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Lester, you know, you want to give us your comment on that, but those who hope in the Lord, this is our close. You know, we're talking about waiting on the Lord and how to handle hard times with faith. It says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be tired.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen. And what I would like to leave you with on that is that we need to simply wait and believe that God's word is true when God says that his plan for us is good and excellent, and that he means the absolute best for us, and we will have the best when we believe and wait.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For the next.
I don't know if you all realize it, but I realize it. I've come to realize it, that the more I work and try to do something, the tireder I get. And it's a relief to lean on somebody else and to have our strength renewed. We need to learn how to lean on God. And it's not a physical strength necessarily, but it's a spiritual strength. And it allows you to be less stressful. We are a stressful people. We are a stressful country. And those that know God should have less stress than those that don't. But we have to have pills to go to sleep, pills to keep going. We want to scream sometime. We have so much stress. We have a pain all in our shoulders and our bodies. But those that wait on the Lord should renew their strength. They should mount up with wings like eagles. We should be able to not be so stressed out, but to move about and to exist in this life, leaning on the strength of God and less on our own strength. And it changes us. It changes our attitude. It should. It changes the way we look at other people. It changes the way we treat other people, because we aren't worn out all the time because we're leaning and depending on God. We ought to be operating in that vein.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Is there anybody else who wanted to say a quick thing? And I did want to talk about something. You know, one of the things Brother Lester brought up is he was talking about the eagle. And an eagle knows when the storm is approaching long before it breaks. The eagle will fly to some high spot and wait for the wind to come. And when that storm hits, he sets his wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm. Because when the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring above it. The eagle doesn't escape the storm. It uses this to lift it higher. Hallelujah. It rises on the winds that bring the storm. Come on, somebody. There's got to be some practical applications in life in that. See, when the storms of life come upon us, and all of us are going to experience those storms, we can rise above them by setting our minds and our belief toward God. The storms don't have to overcome us. We can allow God's power to lift us up above them. God enables us, like the eagle, to ride the winds of the storm that bring sickness, that bring tragedy, that bring failure, that bring disappointment. We can soar above the storm. We can have hope. We can renew our strength. We can soar like the eagles. We can run and not weary. We can walk and not be faint. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not in our own strength, mind you, but by being empowered by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so those of us who have bills, situations plaguing us, as Brother Mark was letting us know, when we're going through hard times, this is how you do it. He made it clear. This is exactly how you do it. So thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate it. I did want to ask those of you who are on the line, is there praise reports prayer requests for tonight? Brother Mark, would you close us out in prayer as well?
Yeah, I have a prayer request. I need this contract proposal that we are putting out today to be received by the owner tomorrow.
All right, God. Tomorrow. Any praise reports? Any prayer requests? I have prayer requests for a job. I had someone call me today about a job that they were wondering if I was still interested in, and they're putting my name in. So I'm asking for prayer regarding that and other positions that God might be leading me to. But as Brother Lester said, we first want to do what? Ask the Lord. Amen. And so that's what we're trying to do. That's what Brother Mark is reminding us to do. In times of struggle and hard times, we have to seek God's face. So I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm asking that you would pray for God to be clear in the direction that I would go to, and that the job would make itself available as I seek to find those opportunities. And it would not be a temporary position, but a permanent one. Amen. That's my
Amen.
Request. Anybody else? I'd like us to lift up Brother Eric, Dr. Edwards, the region of Ohio. Anybody else? Sean Brown, Seanette Brown, Carmen. Are there others for the Bible study? All right then, Brother Mark.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for allowing us to come before you to give you all praise to the city of Indianapolis and to this world. We thank you for the opportunity to bless your holy name. We ask in the name of Jesus that you show forth and shower down your blessings. Today we decree blessings of finance, blessings of faith, blessings of miracles, blessings of healing in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, you said all we have to do is come to you with our supplication, that you'd hear our voice. We ask that you bless Lester in the contract that he's developing right now, that they'll be signed and that they'll be paid tomorrow, Jesus. We ask in the name of Jesus that you bless Dr. Susie with a job, not only a job, but Jesus, with a job that gives her the needs and desires of her heart. We ask that you bless Dr. Edwards and Eric. We ask that you bless Sean with a job also. Lord, we ask that you also bless Carmen. Lord, you know, and that you bless me in regards to my needs and finance. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you bless each and every person that didn't say anything on the line, but that is touched by the line. We ask in the name of Jesus, and we recognize that even though one may not say anything, Lord, but they're reaching out to you, and they want to be touched by you. Jesus, it is you that has made us, not we ourselves. And we recognize that only you can give the increase. Only you can give the blessing. Only you can touch our bodies. Only you can give the anointing. So, Lord, as we come to you, we come jointly. We come as a group, Jesus, that you hear our voices, that you'd hear our supplications, and that you allow us, by the faith that we have, to be blessed by you, Jesus. Lord, and we decree your blessings of faith, our blessings of finance, and our blessings of healing, our blessings of strength, and our blessings of increase, in the precious holy name of Jesus. But we have an expectation because it is you, Lord, that has made us. Lord, you made heaven and earth, and Lord, you control all this on heaven and earth. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We count all done in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Join us back
Amen.
Here next week with Brother Mark Bryant as he's talking with us about trusting that God has a plan for us during the hard times. God's blessing be with you.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.